Last week when I was on vacation, I spent part of my time in Toronto, and I took a rental car in and walked around a while, but at one point, I really wasn't sure where I had the rental car parked. And so, and I only had 2 hours, you know, to get back there. And one of the stops I made was in a bookstore, so I thought, okay, I'm going to see if I can buy a map, because I know the address, but I don't know how to get there. I have no idea where it is. So I bought this expensive map. It probably wasn't as expensive as I thought, because it was Canadian dollars, but still, it was expensive, laminated, unfolded it out in front of this bookstore, and when I unfolded it, a really nice, kind woman walked up to me and said, "Can I help you get somewhere?" She told me exactly where the street was that I was seeking. She told me the best way to get there. She was my map. Wish I had that $20 back, but, you know. She was kind. She saw that I obviously didn't know where I was going, and she told me where to go, which happens to me a lot. But she knew where she was. She knew the territory, and she knew how I could get where I wanted to be. First of all, she recognized, it's fairly obvious, but she recognized that I needed help, and she was willing to help me. If you are a person who is in some territory and you know where you are and you know the territory well, you can have that confidence and grace to help other people find their way. The young man talked about in our gospel story today feels lost. He asks Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus mentions the commandments: don't murder, commit adultery, steal, or bear false witness, honor your father and mother. The man knows he has kept those commandments, and yet he is still searching. He must feel, since he asks the question, that something important has escaped him. He is feeling a little lost. He knows that the commandments, this list of things he has memorized and followed, this list is not going to save him, or it is not giving him comfort and peace, at least. But if we allow our lives to be dictated by whether or not we have measured up to the list, any list, then, as one commentator says, we have pinned our hopes for salvation on someone who cannot bear the weight of our expectations. We have placed our hope for salvation on ourselves. The young man's instinct was to place his hope for salvation on something he could do, because he knew the previous way wasn't working. This salvation, as Jesus said, for mortals, it is impossible. But for God, all things are possible. God has already saved us. We know where we are going, that we are saved by the grace of God and not by our own actions. And when we fully acknowledge that we are saved by grace and not by what we ourselves have done, then we can respond with gratitude and confidence, like the woman who helped me in Toronto. We know where we're going, and we can respond by helping others get there. We can become the map. This young man showed his lostness by asking Jesus what else he could do. He made it clear that the commandments were important to him, but didn't feel like enough. He wasn't feeling fulfilled, or he wasn't feeling intimacy with God. Whatever reason, he knew something was missing. I think many people, even in current Christian practice feel that something isn't quite right. Much of Christian practice and preaching relies on fear as a motivator. And in our hearts, we know that to be motivated by fear to seek a God of love doesn't make sense. And yet, fear is one of the most widely used and widely felt motivations. We constantly hear, do this or you won't go to heaven. If you don't act right, then God will reject you. We struggle to know, with all that noise going on, if we have measured up so that we could live out the rest of our mortal lives in peace. So we look for rules. We embrace and display commandments. We want to point to them and say, I did that. But if our example to others as Christians comes in our adherence to rules, others may look at us from outside the faith and say, I can't do that. Or they say, why should I do that? Because that person still isn't kind and compassionate and loving. Our call is to live a life of peace, to be there for people who are clearly searching and helping them. Our call is to live in such a way that the people around us begin to say, I don't know what those Christians have, but I want it. Because they will see us at peace and with equilibrium. The young man just wasn't feeling it. He kept asking, what else can there be? What am I missing? And Jesus wanted to teach him and promise him, you don't need to be afraid. Don't let fear, even if it's that relatively mild fear of not measuring up, don't let fear motivate you or confuse you. Let the love of God already given to you motivate you to love others. Let go of your need to prove that God should love you, because God already does. In other words, as Christians, we know these promises. We know where we are going in this chaotic, noisy, confusing city of humankind. We know where we are going. And so we are called to help someone else to turn the right way toward God's grace and to accept it. Our God is not a God of fear, but a God of compassion and mercy and forgiveness and grace. What the young man was missing, and what many in Christianity still miss, is that we are already saved by the grace of God. I've had people kind of in my face asking me, have you been saved? Yes, I was saved in 33 AD. God has already done it. We do not earn our way to heaven. God forgives us and God saves us, has already saved us. That knowledge allows us to respond to the rest of the world with forgiveness and grace. When we know and we believe where we are going, that we are already saved, we can show other people. We not only recognize God's grace, but we become part of God's work. Now, one of the keys to our functioning as a map or a guide is our ability, as that woman in Toronto had, our ability to recognize lostness. How does a lost person in our culture today look? Very often they look angry. They look resentful. They look hurt. They try too hard to prove to you their worth or their importance. All of these attributes and many, many more signal to us that a person is looking for something meaningful but finding largely emptiness and frustration. This is the place to ask, even if we don't ask it aloud, can I help you to get somewhere? Very soon, maybe even today, we will encounter someone who is showing signs of being lost. That person may even be resentful towards us, or they may hurt us. That's a sign that they're lost. Or they may have a reaction to something that seems inappropriate or out of balance to what happened. They are lost. We as Christians have the gift of knowing where we are going. We know that we are already saved by the grace of God and not by something we ourselves can do or have done. We know where we are, and we know where we are going. And when we know and believe that we know where we're going, when we know and believe that we are already saved, we can show others the way to embrace that salvation. Our job in thanksgiving for that knowledge is to ask the next lost person, can I help you get somewhere? No one needs to buy an expensive map. We know where we're going. And we have become the map. Amen.